3JCA, N4ZLK.
Sir, sir, KA3JCA.
Radio. I've been having some issues with the one in my work truck. I think it might be in the microphone cord, but I'm not sure. How are you this morning?
Okay. Got up, but got helped Ashley get ready to get out to send her off to work. Kid did. I talked to Sally real quick. It's a 2-hour difference between here and Colorado, but she has to go to work at 8 o'clock our time, which is 6 o'clock Colorado time.
She's not on vacation. She's out there, but she's still working, huh?
Her boss, you know, understood the circumstances why she had to go out, but he let her work out there during the week because basically while she's working, the child's at school, then she'll be able to work with the child afterwards.
They were able to work that out for her. How long is she staying out there?
She'll be coming home tomorrow evening.
Sir, you'll be looking forward to that, having her back home. Yeah, I was off last week and just haven't been able to get on the radio much and having some issues with the one in my work truck. So, and talking to my wife this morning, I would have jumped in and said hello to Ken. I'm not sure if you were in there, but I did hear him. But
you're going to have to break down and buy yourself a little hotspot and a digital DMR so that you and I could, and anybody else that has DMR could talk all the way to Atlanta and back.
You keep saying that. I may have to invest in it one of these days.
Couple of talk groups set up for Atlanta and Metro Atlanta. I've met a few people over there already.
Yeah, most of the repeaters I found in Atlanta are very quiet at night. I put it on scan last night, and I heard a repeater coming in, and I looked it up, and it was Gainesville. So I'm able to hold the Gainesville repeater from just north of Atlanta all the way practically to the South Carolina line. I'm not sure how much further I could get it, but I was picking it up on the west side of Atlanta, but then I lost it coming back on 285.
Well, I did something last night. I'm helping a gentleman. He's 83 years old, and he just pulled his hotspot and DMR radio out. It has been in a shell for a while, and I got his hotspot. He had version 4.1.0 on his hotspot. I got it back up to date on his hotspot, got it all programmed. And he bought the first hotspot that Bridgecom ever sold, so that tells you how old it is. But I worked on a code plug for him last night, and he didn't have many VHF or UHF repeaters in there, so I actually used Repeater Book, and I was able to export to the specific type of radio model plug for the all the information.
He will appreciate that, and you've been a big help to a lot of people.
I was going to do specific frequencies, but what I liked about it is I was able to put the entire 2-meter list of frequencies for the whole state of South Carolina and list it by location. You could do it by call sign and then by location name. There's like 4 different areas that you could sort it. So not only did I sort it by call sign, but I also sorted it by city and county. So it makes it easier for somebody traveling up the road that if you're in Spartanburg County, you could switch to the VHF frequencies and you could see them. And then, you know, if you go on to York County or to Cody County or whatever, you're able to switch a lot faster. So I kind of like that feature. So I'm going to try it with the North Carolina frequencies in Georgia and Tennessee, just so I'll have them in the mobile rig. KA3JCA.
I hate to tell you this, but I didn't get hardly any of that, and it's where my location. I was going under a bridge, and it's a low spot here on 85 and Malden Road, or Pleasantburg Drive, actually. So right at the end of your conversation, about the time you gave your call sign is when I was able to copy, so I didn't get any of that. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, I hear you. No. Trying to tell me I talked too much here. No. No, but yeah, I was just surprised that you could actually sort the data that many different ways So I was able to put all the South Carolina VHF and UHF repeaters in a, to think I would do the same for North Carolina, Georgia, and Kentucky and Tennessee, the, like the surrounding states here.
We like putting them in different folders where they can just access them as they need them.
With a channel list, which is one big filing cabinet like. But then what you have to do is you have to create the zone. And you kind of have to know where the zone starts. Like I put all of South Carolina VHF and UHF frequencies back to back. Then I'll put a couple of line spaces and I'll do the same thing for North Carolina. Then I'll do it for Georgia and then Tennessee. But then what I'll do is get the big folder for channels. I'll separate it or sort it alphabetically by state. Or a group of it, the sections by state. That way I'll know when I go to look for a channel, what I'm looking for.
Makes a lot of sense, especially if you're putting a bunch of them in there.
What's nice about it is if you're not going to use the zones, you can actually hide the zones. They're in your radio there, but just when you go scrolling through the zones, the ones that you don't use, you hide, so that's less you have to scroll through.
Some of the repeaters I've got in my radio program for Atlanta, and I was trying to keep them spaced out, you know, leave a, like I've got Greenville repeaters, and I had some Atlanta repeaters, I've got some Greensboro repeaters, I kind of was trying to spread them out, but I didn't name them, I just used the frequency, and I was looking last night, and I was thinking, well, I don't even know what they are anymore, I can't remember.
What I was doing was initially what I put them in, I would pick like Sassafras Mountain. I have to. You're limited with the names, so I would have to like abbreviate Sassafras Mountain, and then I'd put the frequency with just a like for VHF 6 or 7 point in the last 2 or 3 numbers, and do it that way. But I actually like the way the repeater book did it. I could sort it by call sign and then by location or city, and then also by a county, so it not only will it sort it by call site alphabetically and city alphabetically, it'll sort it by county, and then I think there was one other option that I chose too, so it made it really simplistic when you're looking down to try to add it to the zone.
Just you can copy and paste or just download it right from Repeater Book?
From Repeater Book, and you export it to the radio file that you want, and then once you put it in the format you want for, like, my Anytone radio, I just have to, like, go over and cut and paste and put those in there. And once I do that, I import the whole file, the channel file, back into the radio.
Okay. Well, that sounds good, huh? I don't know when I'm going to get into it. I just don't have enough time to start something new right now.
Still have family living there at the house with you?
Moving out next Friday. I'm taking off next Friday night. Well, they'll be moving Friday and Saturday. I told them I could help them Saturday.
Good. Are they going to be close by to where you're at?
About 30 minutes. So, still local. Won't get to see Ada as much, the little granddaughter, but I'm going to miss that. But they can move. They can leave her for a while. They can move. I don't mind.
What is it, jump in there, KA3JCA? Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, I wish I had some grandchildren right now, but I'm kind of glad I don't. Because, you know, she's 27, and she's not married, and she's not dating. So I'm in no hurry. I would love grandkids, but I'm in no hurry.
And I was just joking about we've enjoyed having them, but they do need to, you know, they need to live on their own, and they, I mean, they're doing that, but it's nice to have that little break, and I'm not ready to raise any more kids. We already did our share, so they can raise their own kids, even though I do enjoy having her around. She's quite a joy.
I like it, just the fact that when I worked for the YMCA, it was nice because when kids get off from school, they would always come to the Y for the after-school program. So it was like you raise their kids and teach them swim lessons and youth sports and stuff like that. Or 6 o'clock when child care closed, you can say, here's your child back.
You're right. One thing I've really enjoyed with her, though, is she is one, and she's saying a few, trying to say words. She can say Nana for banana and Mama and Dada. But they've been teaching her sign language since she was a baby. Anytime, for eat, they do the sign for eat and for more and all that. And she's been doing the hand signals probably since she was 6 months old. And now when she wants more something, she wants more of something, she'll say Mo, and she'll really beat her hands together trying to get more of whatever it is. But she can really let us know. It's really cool.
So that's how Sally learned. Her sister was hearing impaired right after birth. And so Sally had to learn language at a small age, and she learned it from her dad. Her mom knows some of it, but not a lot. But Sally does most 98%, 99% of all the communication with her sister.
Impressive how young the babies can learn, to learn to do some hand signals, some sign language. Her mom would just say the word, whatever, do you want more or do you want to eat? And she would do the hand signal along with saying the word. And Ada, they pick up those sign languages quicker than they can speak. So it's been really fun.
I bet you Sally would love to meet her and just work with her, a little bit to teach her some new sign languages.
That would be fun. I know. I'd love for her to be able to do that, too. Maybe we can work it out someday and get together. My daughter-in-law has also spent several years growing up in Germany. Her dad was military. Her mother's German. So they're kind of trying to speak a little, English and German to her. Hopefully she'll be bilingual or trilingual, I guess, with the sign language.
Yeah, if she can learn now at a young age, that'd be awesome. I had a friend when I worked at Disney World. She spoke 5 or 7 different languages. Of course, with Disney, if you go to their proficiency office over there and you actually get, you have to take a test or a conversation. And if you pass it, on your Disney day tag, it shows all the flags of the countries that you could, it lists a way that people walking up and down Main Street know that you can speak that language.
Well, I wish we had concentrated more on that. We don't do that here in America, on learning other languages. Over in Europe, they pretty much, whatever their language is, they learn English too. So most people are at least bilingual over in Europe.
I know. I took Spanish for a couple years. I know a little bit of Spanish, not much. I'm starting to learn more sign language now that it was nice because when we were working with that child, I got a chance to watch him and work with him too. And then, of course, now he's moved away, so I have to rely on Sally to keep it up when she was talking or explaining things, she was signing at the same time, KA3JCA.
People that can communicate in other languages, even sign language. I mean, I know it takes work, but some people are more gifted at learning speaking languages than others. I have worked on French. I took French in high school, and I would like to learn it, but it doesn't come as easy to me as I got a brother that can just pick up a language and seems like he can start reading it really quickly and start speaking it not long after that. So whatever language he wants to learn, it seems to come easy to him.
That's a rare gift.
He wasn't gifted with common sense, so he's got a lot of other issues, but he can learn languages. I'll give him that.
So did you have a good quiet night last night? Was the traffic to and from Atlanta and back okay?
Good. Uneventful, except for one place coming back. All 3 lanes northbound were almost at a standstill. It was almost like a rolling roadblock, but when I got up to found out there was an accident there, and I guess it was just the way they were clearing it out. But other than that, So it was pretty good. Now, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I had a really very light traffic night. Hardly saw. There was even a section of the road where I was able to put my bright lights on because there was no other traffic. And that's unusual going down that way. So it was really light. Had a really good day Tuesday, or good night.
I'll have to get with my friend Kevin. He's an over-the-road truck driver, and he does long hauls, like, from here to California and stuff. Him and another person, they tag team. He has one of those sleeper things in the truck and so forth like that, because they're, like, they have to take breaks every so many hours, and then they have to get so many hours of sleep in between certain things or whatever that they're not driving. But they tag team, and he goes, like, from here to California and back in a week's time.
Drive a total of 11 hours. You can be on duty for 14. So, you know, if you got any downtime where you're not driving, you can be on duty for 14. But you have to have 10 hours off between your drive times. So that I would not like to do. I would not like to be sitting behind the wheel or sitting up or trying to sleep while somebody else is driving. That doesn't appeal to me.
Where I was going with that, though, is, I mean, he's a lot younger than probably you and I, and I think he's like in his lower 30s, mid-30s, but he travels, and he set up a hot spot. He's got his DMR digital in there. He's got Zello for the phones. He's got Echolink set up and so forth like that. He can, while he's driving down the road, he's got everything wired into Bluetooth, so he could ride down and chat away.
Yeah, if I was doing that, I would definitely have an HF rig in the radio. I've actually thought about trying to put my little mobile HF in, but I don't know if I want to, I don't know. I haven't done it yet, so I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. I'm not sure how long I'm going to do this at night. I've got to do it for 6 months, and then I can decide if I want to keep doing it.
Definitely the repeater. I know it's not you, it's the repeater, because even when you stop talking it on key, I can't get over how scratchy the 610 repeater's got here lately. So, yeah, I can understand driving for 6 months. That's just like, I did shift work for so long, and I finally got tired of it. They didn't want us to go to a permanent shift, and we wanted to go to 12-hour shifts like the officers, but they wanted us to work like 7 to 3s, then have 4 days off, and then 7 3 to 11s, and then have a day and a half off, and then work 3 11 to 7, and have like 2 days off, and then it just, doing that for 12 years, I got tired of it, and I finally left and went to a daytime job, KA3JCA.
Like changing that much and that quick. I like what I'm doing now, and I don't have to drive, you know, like we were talking about your friend there. He drives straight for 11 hours. I don't have to do that. I drive for 30 minutes, and I'll drive an hour, and then I'll drive another hour and a half, and so I got a lot of breaks in between. It's not just straight driving, which is good, but I don't know. It's, you know, I'm getting used to it. I'm still really get used to the schedule, but I feel like I'm at home more. I'm working more hours, but I feel like I'm home more. It's kind of weird.
I like to work at night shift just because I can go home, sleep a couple hours, get up, and then I can lay back down before going in, and then go in and have a great night's worth of work and get up and, you know, start the next day all over again. And I guess I had an advantage, too, because even though I drink Mountain Dew and coffee, caffeine, it doesn't affect me when I'm sleeping.
Hey, I can have a cup of coffee and then go to bed. It doesn't bother me. My wife, on the other hand, if she drinks coffee after noon, it keeps her awake half the night. So I don't know if she worries about it. You know, it's kind of mental too, but it does definitely affect her more than it affects me.
Yes, sir. I know what you mean. So, hey, I have a question for you. Do you know if the wire band is open on Saturdays at all?
I haven't checked his hours. I think they might be on a website, but I couldn't tell you for sure. I'm sorry. N4ZLK.
About stopping by, but then when I just asked you this question, I just remembered, I believe I read that he's going to be at Stone Mountain this weekend, so chances are he's probably not going to be up home. I was going to go try to swing by if he was available when I go up tomorrow to pick up Sally, go up a little bit earlier and catch him. So, but I can always catch him another weekend. They're not that far up the road.
There sometime too, when I get some time, but we actually looked at a house, and I didn't know it at the time, but when we were looking 5 years ago, we looked at a house that was probably within a mile of where his place is.
Small world, because before I met Sally and before I moved up here, I was on Craigslist, and I bought a lift and another scooter for my car to get around in. And the people were over here in Moore, South Carolina. And come to find out, after that was back in 2009, and after I kind of moved back up this way, I got in touch with one of my friends that was from Delaware. Didn't even realize he'd been living here in Spartanburg, right there where Exit 1 is off of Business 85. So, for the longest time, I was up here and didn't even know he was that close, K3JCA.
A small world, isn't it? I drive by Exit 1 every night I work. I go up to Spartanburg up to Exit. I have to get off at Exit 3 now because Heron Circle is blocked or closed down. But I go right by there every night.
Yeah, now he's since moved up to Rutherford to get so forth like that. But and his parents went ahead and they call them Snowbirds, but they were here in South Carolina. But they moved down to Florida, so they're down there full time.
I'm sure they enjoy Florida. Let's see. There's something I was going to ask you, and I can't think of it at the moment. So I'll have to, maybe it'll come back to me. N4ZLK.
Let me see. Oh, did you ever ask your wife about that Jude Jam and the Apple Scrapple Festival and all that other stuff we talked about that one day?
He had heard of the Apple Scrapple Festival, but not the other one. So, she'd never been to it, but she'd heard of them.
Two pretty major big events there in Delaware, so. How much more? You got much longer to go home, or do you almost home?
20 minutes.
Okay, cool. That give me a chance to have another cup of coffee.
Either need a cup of coffee or you need a nap, whichever comes first.
I got that CPAP machine on with the oxygen to help me breathe. That's probably why it sounds like that.
You yawned pretty good a couple of times. That's what I was saying that for.
I was up and down last night. So for some reason, I went to bed at 8, was up at midnight, laid down at 1. My dog woke me up at 2 to go outside, let him out. Then I couldn't get back to sleep until like 4:30, quarter to 5, and I was trying to stay up to make sure Ashley got up. And I failed at that attempt, but she managed to get up anyway. So then she fed me breakfast already this morning. And she just left for work about 10 minutes ago.
How are you today?
Good for right now. Been listening to you guys for a few minutes while I was getting ready. Heading up to the dentist now.
He was listening to us, and it was so bad he decided to go to the dentist, because that was better.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. K3JCA.
Morning. And yeah, you know, it's so much better to go sit in the dentist chair and with your mouth wired open.
Yep. And yeah, Patrick, they always ask you questions too when they, about the time they stick something back in your mouth, they'll ask you a question. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I tell you, when the time changes, we can just not go get daylight to about 8:30, it seems like.
So, it's so foggy up here this morning, I can hardly see anything.
3 JC in the group.
Looking over the trees now, it's lightening up here, over here in Dacusville area.
What's doing up this time of day?
Patrick, I've been waking up here about 6 o'clock every morning for about the last 3 or 4 days. I've had to go to the dermatologist one morning. As a matter of fact, I got to go to my implant specialist next week. I got to take a look at one of my implants. I've been waking up early for some reason. I've been going to bed fairly late, but I don't know what the deal is. It's not on purpose, I can assure you that. But I know there's a good bit of activity on there. I just turned the radio on. A little bit ago, I heard everybody in here talking. I thought I'd say hello to everybody because I haven't been on a lot lately. I've been busy in Greenville and other places getting other things done.
Hello, I haven't talked to you in a while. I've changed my work schedule, so I don't hear you as often, but it's good to hear you this morning. Go ahead, Richard.
Shade that, Jerry, that I hadn't heard about it a while, and of course my schedule's been crazy, and I'm normally on there in the morning with Patrick and Andrew and Ken and Eric and whoever else joins in, but Ken, I haven't heard you on there during the daytime either for a while. Jerry, K3JCA.
Trying to drive through this fog, guys, so I'm paying attention to the road a little more. But y'all carry on.
Good morning to the group.
I hear you on a couple of times in the afternoon, but I really hadn't been monitoring that much. Maybe during that time of day, your schedule changed some in the last few weeks.
And Lloyd, I heard you in there. I went tonight. So I'm going at 5:30 in the afternoon, make a pickup, and then go to Spartanburg, and then come back to Greenville, and go to Atlanta, and then come back. So I'm doing a little different now. I don't have to get out and deliver any packages. I just got to pull trailers.
K3JC, go ahead, pick it up.
Good morning again to the group. And I am definitely running on 3 hours of sleep because I heard the earlier conversation about not want to raise young children again, but due to the fact that, you know, child from one of the foster kids, you know, up and left, so I've been raising her since she was 8 weeks old, and she's 3 now, so I'm in definitely my middle 50s raising a 3-year-old again, so what fun is that?
Well, taking care of that little girl, so I admire you, but I don't envy you, but you're doing a good job there, Lloyd.
Appreciate it, because the egg donor is pretty much worthless, and because what parent has not talked to their child or even made contact with their child since they were 8 weeks old? And just, I don't get it.
I was working for the YMCA. People would drop their kids off. We don't open the door until 6 a.m. when I was at the Y. People would be sitting at our front door at 5:30, reading the newspaper, drinking a cup of coffee, instead of spending time with their children at the breakfast table talking to them.
That's a noble effort you're doing there, Lloyd. That's something not a lot of people can do. It's emotionally draining physically, too. I know a couple of folks that have done that over the years, and it's really tough. But you're talking about dropping off at the Y, Richard. I live in Fort Mill, and of course, you know, you're familiar with it. There at the Spring Recreation Complex, that was a similar thing. They just drop them off there, come back and pick them up, but it wasn't quite as bad as what you're saying. But, of course, that's been a long time ago. But, we were real lucky. My wife works as a resident manager in an apartment complex when we lived there, and so she was able to stay at home and raise our 2 kids. Which I think makes a difference. A lot of people can't do it, and a lot of people just, you know, can't or don't want to do it. But if they want to do it and they can, it sure benefits the kids. I know that.
completely agree. We were able to do that. My wife was able to stay home and then started working from home. And so one parent was always there with them for any activity or whatever. But some parents, yeah, like Lloyd said, they'll just drop them off at an activity. They don't know who the adults are. They don't know what's going on. They're just free babysitting for them. N4ZLK.
Surprised at how many of the school systems deal with the same thing. My wife works there now. She stayed at home with our kids, our son, until he went and graduated high school. Then she started working for the school. So, same thing. But guys, I am hitting the back hole up here on the other side now in Bavard. So I'm going to say 7-3. Good to talk to all y'all. Shane, Eric, Lloyd, Richard, Jerry, y'all have a good day. KO4-HK.
Have a good day.
7-3 Patrick K 3JCA.
24DJC.
73 Patrick KO4PXB.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
That Ashley was working at another place and doing one day a week or a couple days a month at Publix. What is her new job, if they don't mind?
Actually working for a mortgage company. Is it like accounts receivable right now? Working up through the mortgage company.
Does she like that?
Yes and no. She'd only been trading for a little over a week, and then October 31st was in the month. So just before she got ready to get off at 5, apparently the mailroom delivered 4 boxes or 4 crates. And they had to process like 7,700 envelope payments.
Well, I don't know of anybody who would like to do that, especially after even when you think you're going to be quitting or getting off. But if she enjoyed it in college, you know, got her master's in that accounting type stuff, I'm sure it'll eventually she'll get into that and she'll enjoy it. But I did hear you mention that, and I was just curious. But I'm going to go ahead and take this opportunity to sign off, too. I'm not far from the house, and voice is getting tired, apparently. I feel like I'm gonna lose it here in a little bit. So I hope you all have a good day. It was good to talk to all of you, Jerry, Richard, Lloyd. You guys be careful and have a good day, and we'll talk to you again. N4ZLK.
WJCA.
Have a good one, Shane. Get some rest. 10-4-DJC.
73 KO4PXB.
Hey, Bill, I've talked to you since the last time you stopped by. I have a gentleman from Charleston that's 83, was having trouble with his DMR, and I fixed his hotspot, and he sent me his code plug, and he only had like 30 channels in it. So I redid his code plug, but I was going to tell you that I tried something different this time. I went to Repeater Book, and I exported the entire VHF 2-meter file from export to the Anytone radio, 878. Then I turned around and saved that CSV file, and then I did the same thing for the UHF for South Carolina. And I was actually very pleased that I could sort it like 4 or 5 different ways. So it's sorted by call sign, by city, in by county, and by something else I did. But it turned out with like 140 different repeaters in the state of South Carolina for VHF.
That is definitely very cool. I heard you talk about that earlier.
If I ask you if that repeater tape was working okay for you, that's pretty handy if you, at least it works pretty good for the ICOM stuff too, but I'm sure it's a lot handier for the DMR.
But it doesn't give me the sort features that I want as far as isolating. So like even though I downloaded all the VHF repeaters, it gave me all the DMR VHF. It gave me the IRLP, the D-Star. So I had to delete a couple of those because the guy doesn't have that on his radio. So, I mean, he has DMR, but that's all part of the SC Heart stuff that I did. And I was actually surprised. I found a couple of SC Heart VHF repeaters. KA3JCA.
But that's something I just found out about that not too a few months ago, I guess, and I really never have explored it very much because I don't travel to mount anything, so I don't need all those repeaters in my radios. But it is a handy tool to use, even though you do have to fiddle with it to get it to source the way you want it to. N4DJC.
I am any point in time anyone talks about radios on whatever that they're learning, I definitely make them add that wrinkle into my brain because, like I said, I'm getting ready to work on building a 2 meter, 70 centimeter antenna with the, from what I saw on YouTube with the coat hangers. So that's pretty cool because the lady from the HOA, which I don't understand this, but fussed about the cable antenna hanging from my window blind.
Even though it's part of the HOA, I will tell you there is an ordinance that passed the federal government that says they cannot restrict ham radio operators from putting up antennas.
Yeah, I'll definitely look at that because she's just not the nicest person about the HOA, just very persnickety about everything.
RB1, I'm not sure, but there, I found something else too. I was looking at something up under that part 97 of the FCC rules and looking for something, and I saw it too that says that they can no longer restrict you from doing that as long as it's cosmetically acceptable or appealing or something. I forget what the wording said.
I guess it probably has to kind of blend in with a neighborhood and not look gaudy in appearance.
Hey Lloyd, what are you using now as your antenna there?
KO4NUE. Chad made me an antenna that's pretty much just like a cable that's running down there. Now I've got the coax cable that's plugged into a Anytone 878, so that works out very well.
Something like that, I guess.
I guess, like I said, I just know he made me the antenna, so I'm truly not. It just looks like a ribbon antenna, just like a piece of ribbon with an antenna, and he definitely, I appreciate it, and it works out awesome.
Oh, you're talking about like the ladder line? That it kind of looks like it basically is just the coax of the ladder line that's the antenna?
That is correct.
That'd be a J-Po.
I guess from what Lloyd's describing, it basically goes from the coax from the radio to over to the ladder line, and it kind of separates. It kind of reminds you like the old FM antennas that you would put on the back of your stereo cabinet to receive. I know that I've used those before and trimmed them to work for 2 meters when I was in the hospital for 2 months. We taped it to the hospital window, and I was able to use that.
The FM antennas, actually, they were like, at least the ones I always used, from years past, was like a dipole, basically. But a J-pole is just a straight piece of ladder line. You can actually use twin lead TV cable. Richard, I've got one, that TV twin line, just twin line TV cable. You just got to stub it, you got to notch it and stub it for the right place if you're going to use it on T frequency. But generally, the ladder line would work really well. They don't, since this is J-Po, you don't have to worry about a ground, you don't have to worry about a ground plane for it because it's not like a collinear, but it's similar to that. It doesn't need a ground plane. You don't have to have, radials or anything like that sticking out from it. It's generally really efficient, and it's like that design that Ed Fong, made real popular, but I made one up, I guess, probably 25 years ago, I guess, but it's a very common, simple deal to use. You just got to have some soldering skills and get a little shrink wrap to cover up the connection points and do the measurement right and notch it out where you need to. It's just real simple.
All right, gentlemen, I am now at work, so I'll say 73 to y'all, and please have a great day. KO4PXB.
The pole or the pipe to bury it over to the house and then bring it in that way, hit.
Richard. He was at work, I think.
All right, 73, Lloyd, I'll get with you later, KA3JCA.
Transmission, Richard, I didn't hear. I caught just a little bit of it about something about the house, but the rest of it, yeah, we'll kind of, Lloyd kind of walked on you a little bit.
Yeah, places, they'll let you put a flagpole up in your yard. So what you do is you take the whip portion of the dual band antenna and stick it on top to make it look like a lightning rod or a lightning arrestor, run the coax down to the center of the flagpole, and then, you know, bury some underground cable, bring it over to the house and bring it into the house, because then you have your flagpole outside with a dual band antenna on top.
Yeah, those work good. You can even, most of these houses don't have, don't have any type of shielding, you know, through the shingles, anything like that. So a lot of times you just put them up in an attic. And some of the ground planes are really small. You know, the shed or 2 meter ground plane, you know, with radiators and all, it's only about 19 inches tall. You can, I think typically what most people do when they're trying to hide is just paint it black. And you can't, it doesn't stick out. And it does have the four 19 inch radios with something like a Ringo Ranger, which I've got one of those stuck back somewhere. The Ring of Ranger didn't have any radios at all. It's just basically just a small vertical, but it doesn't require a ground plane either. I mean, it doesn't require radios because it's just got the ring it's more like a collinear, I guess. I'm not sure. Or maybe an infed dipole, infed antenna, but it doesn't have anything. Those things, you paint those things black and you can't see those things at all. Or look at it's just a vertical with nothing sticking out of the side of it.
You paint it black, or you paint it a grayish blue, kind of like what the military plates do to blend it with the sky and the clouds, that grayish, flat gray. And so forth like that. Yeah, you could paint it whatever. I know when I put up an 80 meter loop out where I used to live, I put it up, but I used like that. It was like a hunter green, a darker green that shielding that was on the wire. It wasn't the light green like the ground wire looks like for electrical. And I just bought a spool of darker green and used that. That blended in well. KA3JCA.
Does work good. Excuse me. That ring is only 38 inches tall. It's set for the 2 meter band.
You okay there?
Yeah, I got a little choked there. I'm a little. I get kind of dried up after I take my medication in the morning. So I'm going to have to go get a drink of water here in a minute. Not fine. Or excuse me, I'm going to be, I guess, Richard. But I was saying that ring is only 38 inches tall, and it works. It works really good on receive, but yeah, because it's a vertical, it doesn't. You got to be able to run a little power with it. It takes more than 5 watts to get into the machine on it from here, but 10 or 15 watts works really well with it. And it does a pretty good job on receive. It's not like a beam, but it works good enough for most people that run. You know, 25 watts or something like that. Yeah, if they're not in a terrible location. But, those J-bells work really well. I know a lot of people, that's all they use. You know, a lot of guys have Aero makes one. It really has got, and it's pretty simple to set up. They're about 5 feet tall, Dave. They're fairly tall. Dual band version is just got a vertical element that's probably 57, 58 inches tall, maybe something like that, maybe a little taller, and it's got another shorter element for the 440. It's maybe 8 or 10 inches tall, so they're very conspicuous, and you can, of course, they're all aluminum. You can, of course, you can paint those black as well, and they're pretty inconspicuous, and they work real well, especially if you can get them elevated, you know, 20 or 25, 30 feet.
Yes, sir, I know what you mean. I loved it when I built antennas and camouflaged them and put them up and so forth like that. I'd love to get over there or talk to Lloyd and maybe have him send me a couple pictures of the outside, see if I can't give him some ideas on how to put some antennas up so that he can get in better. But matter of fact, I think when I get up done here, Jerry, I'm going to go find that information for him to make it easier. But like I said, I actually knew about it, but I read something else the other day on somebody's website. I think that's where I saw it. I was beyond my DMR when a person's call comes up. I usually look at their QRZ page, and the guy was talking about how he had some issues with his homeowners association, and he went provided this document, and all of a sudden they couldn't do anything about it. So he's not trying to do it out of spite, but I don't like people in HOAs that want to stick their business in somebody else's business. You know what? Just worry about the piece of property you bought and leave it at that.
There's one in every neighborhood. We try to mind our own business, and but we got other people in the area here that want to stick their nose in your business, and some of them just don't pay attention to any of it. You know, they'll encroach on your property and do other kinds of things too. You know, let the fences fall down, just don't care, take care of yourself. But we don't have a homeowners association here, so it's not really that big of a deal. Most people police themselves. We got one lady up here at the top of the hill that was like a street captain for the neighborhood. It wasn't a homeowners association, just a neighborhood group, and she was real particular about everybody. And now she let some guy move in with a dollar up there, and he's got a boat, old boat, fiberglass boat, an old trailer up there, and he's got a car out there that ain't got a transmission. It just looks, it's just an eyesore in the neighborhood. And the funny thing about it is they're building two new houses right up just directly in front of her. One of them's going to be probably a $500,000 or $600,000 house, I guess. And I'm sure they're not going to be happy with it. She's going to be having to do moving some of that junk out of the yard.
You also wanted to use the machine? My dad, when he was in Connecticut, he lived in an apartment complex that was real heavily run by HOA. And again, it was the community he lived in was 55 and older, and one day they have a single car garage, and along the garage up to, like, there's a wall and a little gate that goes into a patio area to get into your house. Well, along the garages and on the property, the HOA plants flowers and stuff on everybody's property, and it just become overrun. And I mean, it looked nice, but it just was overrun, and my dad decided one day he was going to thin them out. And some lady that lived a couple doors down said something to my dad, and then turned around and told the HOA that my dad was out there thinning the flowers out.
And generally speaking, sometimes those aren't the best neighbors, and for other reasons too. But we've got a couple here in the neighborhood. There's just one, actually. This guy just moved in about a year or so ago, and He just cluttered up the yard. That's really the only one we got. We got, like, I think it's like 75 homes in a subdivision. It's an old one that started back in the mid-60s. I mean, they built a new round of houses in the early 90s, and they're building some more now. A few lots that are left, but they're building, you know, really expensive houses now instead of the, you know, 1,600-1,700 square feet houses that are mostly in the building, you know, big houses. And one of them's on the lake, and it sold for about almost $700,000, I think, in different. And they just look out of place in the neighborhood. They just kind of outsized it. We just got this one that's just didn't look good. But, you know, it doesn't bother me, not next door to me, and I can I'll have to look at it. But those people buy those two new houses up there, when they get finished, they ain't gonna be, they ain't gonna want to look at it. But somebody said something to her about a month ago. They've been trying to clean it up and that sort of thing. We'll see how it works out. But I don't like HOAs can be good and they can be bad. And there's more bad than good in them sometimes, I think.
I actually thought about going to one or two of my meetings. I mean, I can't complain because I turned in my thing to let somebody else, let the board cast my vote, but because I just, it's difficult for me to get out and get into the clubhouse and stuff like that. But I do have to say that we have a few houses, probably you could go more than 10 in the neighborhood, that they've let their yard go and their house go and stuff like that, and the HOA is finally starting to send stuff that, hey, if you don't clean it up, we're going to clean it up, and then you're going to get the bill. And what they do is they put a lien on your property. So you need to get off the pot and clean it up, or they're going to do it for you, and then you're going to be stuck when you go to sell your house.
That's the part I don't like, is they try to put a lien on your house. That just grates me. That's one of the reasons we bought here and somewhere else, is I didn't want to have that ability to do that. But the county ordinances here are pretty strong about keeping property up, and they'll come in and make them clean it up. But like I said, the neighborhood is in pretty good shape now, even to be as old as it is. We have several rentals, but the rentals are going away. People bought them, and one had been rented up here on the corner, about two streets over from us. Been rental for years, and somebody recently bought it, and they spent, I don't know, put a ton of money out there putting terraces out front with stonework and, you know, stonework land for the terraces. They turned that into a really nice house. So they spent a lot of money on it, but it does look good. And most people here are older. They keep their property up. They've been residents here. We've been here 27 years, and most of them have been here at least as long as we have, and some of them a lot longer. But they tend to keep their property up until, you know, when somebody gets one where they have to go into assisted living or something like that, and then the property gets sold. But generally speaking, they take pretty good care of it here.
To take care of my own yard, and I used to have people drive by and just stop and say thank you, and they couldn't believe all I did with being in a power chair and only having one leg and so forth. They just were amazed at the things that I could do. I was constantly working. Then when I got really sick and my health went totally downhill, I was actually surprised. I didn't ask them, but a couple of my neighbors have jumped in and help Sally do the yard. So, I mean, she's got a riding lawnmower that I bought her. So, just she's afraid that it's going to tip over on her, but she does it. So I just try to tell her to do it slowly. But my neighbors on either side of me are pretty good, KA3JCA.
Neighbor on one side of us, and they're going to be really good neighbors. They're about our same age. We got one, and she got a couple of kids over there. They take care of the yard and that sort of thing, but they hadn't taken care of the house as well as they should have. But she's probably older than I am, but I don't think she's in that good of health. But when her husband was living, he kept it up, you know, pretty well. But like I said, with neighbors across from us are good. We got pretty good neighbors. They mind their own business for the most part. And we don't have, you know, very seldom we have any issues out of anybody here. I mean, the only time a sheriff's cruiser comes through or something is that, I think the only time they come through is when they get lost.
To be, so. All righty, Jerry. Well, I'm going to let you go get you something to drink. I'm going to go get me another cup of coffee here and see what kind of trouble I can get into on the computer here. It was a pleasure talking to you guys this morning. Get for DJC, KA3JCA. Clear on yours.
Hey, good talking to you again. I was glad to hear everybody on this morning. I'm glad I got up early enough to give a shout to everybody. Have a good day, and I'll make catch you a little bit later. KA3JCA, N4DJC, clear.